ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नारं चैव नरोत्तमां देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 29 इन द मैटर ऑफ टॉक्स बिटवीन नारद एंड किंग प्राचीनबर्हि। वी आर ऑन टेक्स्ट 46। यदा यस्यानुगृह्णाति भगवान् आत्मभाविता सा जहाति मतिं लोके वेदे च परिनिष्ठिताम्। यदा यस्यानुगृह्णाति भगवानात्मभाविता स जहाति मतिं लोके वेदे च परिनिष्ठिताम्। यदा यस्यानुगृह्णाति भगवानात्मभाविता स जहाति मतिं लोके वेदे च परिनिष्ठिताम्। यदा यस्यानुगृह्णाति भगवानात्मभाविता स जहाति मतिं लोके वेदे च परिनिष्ठिताम्। कृपा सिंधुभ्य एवच पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगायते गिरिं यत्कृपतमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुदिनतारिणं यत्कृपतमहं वंदे परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरं। कथांचन स्मृते यस्मिन् दुष्करं सुकरं भवेत् विस्मृते विपरीतं स्यात् श्रीचैतन्यं नमामितम्। When a person is fully engaged in devotional service, he is favored by the Lord who bestows his causeless mercy. At such a time, the awakened devotee gives up all material activities and ritualistic performances mentioned in the Vedas. So we heard a fairly long purport by Srila Prabhupada. So the topic of this verse is pure devotional service, which has been defined as Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam Anukulyena Krishna Nushilanam Bhaktir Uchyate Bhaktir Uttam. Sorry. So this is the definition of devotional service that has been given to us by Rupa Goswami. Now, in the preface to the Nectar of Instruction, right at the beginning, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the Krishna consciousness movement is being conducted under the supervision of Srila Rupa Goswami. So this Krishna consciousness movement is being conducted under the supervision of Srila Rupa Goswami. So technically we are called Rupa Anugas. Anugas means the followers. So we are followers of Rupa Goswami. So we are Rupa Anugas. More specifically, we are Prabhupada Anugas because we follow the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami as presented to us by Srila Prabhupada. Now there are various kinds of devotional service, but the kind of devotional service that Rupa Goswami is referring to is Uttama Bhakti, pure devotional service. Pure devotional service means that devotional service which is free from material desires. Because there are various kinds of devotional service. You can perform devotional service in the mode of goodness, in the mode of passion, in the mode of ignorance, in a mixture of the various modes. But the kind of devotional service that Rupa Goswami is talking about is unalloyed devotional service, free from material desires. And this kind of devotional service is of only one kind. And that is what we are trying to follow in the Krishna consciousness movement, pure devotional service. Then one may think, okay, pure devotional service. That looks the very word, pure devotional service. Devotional service which is free from all material desires. That looks quite difficult. That looks quite challenging. However, pure devotional service does not necessarily mean prema bhakti. Pure devotional service has various levels, beginning from shraddha to prema. So one can begin at any level and progress to the level of prema bhakti. Now, in pure devotional service, the highest level is prema bhakti. The most preliminary level is shraddha. So one can advance from shraddha all the way to prema. So one does not have to be discouraged by thinking pure devotional service, that's a very high goal. No, that is what we are supposed to practice every day, moment to moment. It is something which is achievable. But that may need a little bit of explanation. For example, like when we go to school, right? So you have different grades in school. You have grade 1, you have grade 2, you have grade 3, grade 4, like that. Grade 12 in a normal school, and then you have university, and like that. Now, the point is to get into the school. The school teaches you something. So the point is to first get into the school. And then you progress naturally. You only have to be in the school. You progress naturally from grade 1 all the way up to the highest stage. So the point is, first of all, to take up this process of pure devotional service as given to us by Srila Prabhupada. So in that sense, you can consider that ISKCON is the school of pure devotional service. And we can begin anywhere. But we have to be in the school. We have to follow. All that we have to do is follow the prescriptions. We don't have to be hung up about the word pure devotional service, free from material desires. I'll just explain a little later what I mean by that. So the point is that we have to first of all accept this process. And once we accept this process, then we can steadily progress from the lowest level, wherever we start, until the highest level of prema bhakti. Now one may think, okay, what does it mean, free from material desires? Generally, at least I can speak for myself, I'm not free from material desires. So where do I stand? Does it mean that I cannot practice pure devotional service? Does it mean that I don't fall into the category of that pure devotional service practitioners? What does it mean? So, the point is, all of us, many of us have material desires. That is a problem. To have a material desire is a problem. But there is a solution. To have a material desire does not disqualify you from being in the pure devotional path. What is the solution that we are adopting to these material desires? That is what determines whether we are in the pure devotional path or not. What is the kind of solution that we are accepting to our material desires? That is what determines whether we are in the pure devotional path or outside of it. So now, to understand this a little better, if we rewind our memory a little backwards, earlier on we were dealing with the story of Kardama Muni. Now, Kardama Muni is a devotee who is very advanced in devotional service. Prabhupada explains he was meditating for thousands of years. He is an exalted personality, performing all the different elements of devotional service. Yet, he has a desire to get married. So that is a material desire. The desire to get married is a material desire. Now, we should notice what he does. Prabhupada explains in those pastimes that normally, in the Vedic tradition, when you have a material desire, you approach a particular demigod who is in charge of that area. For example, Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book how the gopis worship Lord Shiva to get a very good husband. So Prabhupada explains, similarly, Kardama Muni could have worshipped Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva, to get a very good wife. But that's demigod worship. He doesn't do that. Kardama Muni doesn't do that. Rather, he prays to the Supreme Lord. So that's one thing. He does not depend on the demigods. He depends on the Supreme Lord. Second, if you know what happened after Kardama Muni got married, he produced thousands of beautiful ladies simply by his mystic power. So it is very well possible for him, if he wanted, that he could have simply produced a beautiful woman and got married to her. But he doesn't do that. Rather, he depends on Krishna. Third thing, how does he depend on Krishna? Finally, we know how Krishna arranges for Swayambhuva Manu to come and offer his daughter Devahuti to Kardama Muni. But before that, the Bhagavatam explains that Kardama Muni was actually aware of the presence of Devahuti on the planet. Now, Devahuti is not an ordinary woman. She's not ordinarily beautiful. She was so beautiful that this Gandharva called Vishwavasu was flying on his airplane. And Prabhupada explains that from his airplane, he could see Devahuti playing ball on the terrace of her palace. And Prabhupada explains, so skyscrapers existed even during that time. Otherwise, how could Vishwavasu see a woman playing ball? And he could see her very clearly. And he was so attracted by her beauty that he fell off the airplane. Of course, being a Gandharva, he didn't die. But he fell off the airplane. So Devahuti is the original Miss Universe. She was the most beautiful woman. And Prabhupada, in fact, in the purport, he mentions that Devahuti was the ornament among all ornamented women. So that's like a poetic phrase, glorifying the beauty of Devahuti. So, Kardama Muni knew about her existence because he had heard about this incident of Vishwavasu, the Gandharva, falling off the airplane, being attracted by Devahuti. Nevertheless, when he has darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he does not tell Krishna. You know, I know about the existence of this Devahuti. Could you please somehow arrange for me to get married to her? He doesn't do that. Rather, what he prays is very interesting. He prays, Ye maya te hatame dasastvat padaravindam bhavasindhu potam upasate kama labaya tesham rashisa kaman nenaye piyesu. Your lotus feet are the true boat or vessel to take one across the ocean of mundane nescience. Only persons deprived of their intelligence by the spell of the deluding energy will worship those feet with a view to attain the trivial and momentary pleasures of the senses, which even persons rotting in hell can attain. However, O my Lord, you are so kind that you bestow mercy even upon them. So look at this mood of Kardama Muni. He knows that these pleasures are trivial and momentary. And he says that even people rotting in hell can attain this kind of pleasure. But he's helpless. Prabhupada explains in a purport. He's expressing his inability. He knows about it. He has a desire to give up this material desire. But he's not able to do it. So what does one do? So it depends exclusively on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what kind of exclusive dependence is that? He does not depend on the demigods. He does not depend on the demigods. He does not ask the Lord for a particular favor. Nor does he depend on his own abilities. He was such a great mystic yogi. He doesn't just produce a wife and get married to her. No. So we notice that he's exclusively dependent on the mercy of the Lord. He knows it is wrong. He wants to give it up. But because he's not able to give it up, he depends on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, I think that this is something which is achievable for all of us. That at least we can have a desire to give up material desires. And if we are not able to do it, we can depend exclusively on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as Kardama Muni did. Of course, my idea of bringing up the example of Kardama Muni and Devahuti is not to bash the Grahastha Ashram. I want to just clarify that because yesterday I was watching a lecture live that was being given by one of my favorite speakers, Jayadvait Maharaj. And at the end of the class, that led into a very heated discussion. So much so that the webcast was shut down due to that. So because the devotee was asking the question, was saying, Maharaj, you're trying to bash the Grahastha Ashram. So that is not my point why I brought up this issue of Kardama Muni. Because if you notice that Kardama Muni, although he's shameful about this desire, once he gets into Grahastha life, we can see how responsible he was. He doesn't consider it as the typical brahmachari to Grahastha fall down. You know, as I was mentioning in an earlier class, back in the early 90s when I took to Krishna consciousness, when you heard that such and such brahmachari has fallen down, you never know what it actually means unless you clarify. It could actually mean that the brahmachari got married, or it could mean that the brahmachari left Krishna consciousness. So it actually takes effort. You have to actually clarify, what do you actually mean when you say that so-and-so brahmachari fell down? You know? So Kardama Muni doesn't get into this kind of a syndrome. This is not part of Rupa Goswami's teaching. Neither is it part of Prabhupada's teaching. That is something which is uniquely developed within ISKCON. So Kardama Muni, although he's shameful, he knows that this is material desire. But once he gets into it, you know how you can see how responsibly he carries out his functions as a Grahastha. So the example of Kardama Muni is very suitable for all of us, because we see here is somebody who has a material desire that he's not able to overcome, and he's setting a precedent for us. This is how you'd approach the Supreme Lord. Now, the Bhagavatam explains in the second canto, akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradihi. Atheerena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusha Param. Which means whether you are free from all material desires, whether you're full of material desires, whatever it is, practice intense devotional service to the Lord. So this is something which we have to remember, that we have to practice devotional service intensely. It is not enough for us to think. If we begin to think, look, let me try to get the best of both worlds. Let me try to make it in my material life. Let me have the very nice facilities. And also let me try to practice devotional service nicely. That is a problem. When we think that material desires are not a problem, we can engage it in the service of the Lord, then that is a problem. Material desires are always a problem, and we have to identify it for what it is. Because sometimes you hear, I've heard a couple of times that, or maybe much more than a couple of times, that devotees say, oh, material desires, no problem. Our philosophy is Yukta Vairagya. No? But that is not our philosophy. Our philosophy is Yukta Vairagya. It is not Yukta Boga. It's not that you have material desires, so it's all fine. Just engage it in the service of the Lord. Now, on this point of Yukta Vairagya, I wanted to particularly bring up this, what exactly Prabhupada means by Yukta Vairagya. What exactly does Rupa Goswami mean by Yukta Vairagya? Because normally it is understood, okay, whatever you do, just engage in the service of the Lord. That is Yukta Vairagya. It's fine. That's the very preliminary definition of what is Yukta Vairagya. But we need to examine it a little bit more closely so that we don't get misled in our practice of devotional service. Now, in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 27, Prabhupada defines this the sloka which Rupa Goswami gives about Yukta Vairagya. There Rupa Goswami says, Anasakta Vishayan Yataham Upayunjataha Nirbandasa Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagya Muchyate. Now notice how Prabhupada translates this. One should be unattached in material affairs and do everything in Krishna consciousness. By this system, which is called Yukta Vairagya, one attains perfection. So the point to be noted is, one should be unattached in material affairs and do everything in Krishna consciousness. Then again, in the Bhagavatam, from the Bhagavatam, okay, sometimes we hear this argument that, okay, in Mayapur, when we talk to people, we say, okay, we have these huge guest houses and very comfortable situations so that people can come and live here, you know. And Prabhupada gives that as an example of Yukta Vairagya. But is it for us also? We need to understand that. And Prabhupada explains that, yes, I mean, initially it may be for us also that we may need some comfortable facility. But Prabhupada explains, gradually, this is from the 4th canto, 29th chapter, text 55, gradually such persons will learn that palatial buildings or comfortable apartments are not at all necessary. So we have to come to that point. The real necessity is to become free from material bondage in whatever way possible. Then one is not attached to anything, but at the same time accepts everything in relation to Krishna. One is rightly situated above possessiveness. This is another translation of Yukta Vairagya verse. When one is not attached to anything, but at the same time accepts everything in relation to Krishna, one is rightly situated above possessiveness. And Prabhupada explains further, one should not be attached to material opulence, but material opulence may be accepted in Krishna consciousness to facilitate the propagation of the movement. So here again we see how this point is brought out, that Yukta Vairagya means to engage things in the service of the Lord without being attached to it. It is not that we have a desire to enjoy something and be engaged in the service of the Lord. That is not the concept of Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya is to be not attached to material opulence, but to engage it in the service of the Lord as and when needed. Similarly, later on, Prabhupada explains about Maharaj Ambarish also. There also he mentions that indeed, knowing that such material opulence is the cause of downfall into conditioned life, he was unattached to this opulence. He engaged his senses and mind in the service of the Lord. This process is called Yukta Vairagya. So again and again, if you notice Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada, I just took out a few sample quotations from these scriptures where Prabhupada mentions about the concept of Yukta Vairagya. But if you look into it further, you'll see Almost in every single place, Prabhupada makes it a point to explain that Yukta Vairagya means one is unattached to it, yet engages it in the service of the Lord. So that is the platform on which we have to act in Krishna consciousness, and that is the platform by which acting, by acting on that platform, we eventually come to the stage of the highest perfection, which is Krishna Prema. Now, in the second part of the purport, Prabhupada explains that devotees of the Lord, he says the word Atma Bhavita also indicates that a devotee is always engaged in preaching to deliver conditional souls. So this is another characteristic of the Rupanugas, that Rupanugas are preachers. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, 1866, he says, Sarvadharman Paritejya Mamekam Sharanam Braja. 68 and 69, he says, that for those who explain the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed. And 69, he says, one who preaches these glories, or I mean, explains about me, he is most dear to me, nor will there be ever somebody more dear. So the process given to us by Rupa Goswami is pure devotional service. We practice pure devotional service, and we also preach pure devotional service. We are not merely practitioners of pure devotional service. That is not Rupanugas. That is not a Rupanuga. That is neither a Prabhupada Nuga. But rather, we are both practitioners and preachers. Our identity is incomplete when we say. Sometimes we hear. I remember once I was engaged at the Sri Mayapur International School. So we were trying to make a mission statement for the school. So I came up with an expression that, okay, the devotees, the children of this school, they should practice Krishna consciousness nicely throughout their whole lives. And then I presented this to Gopi Paranda Prabhu, and he said, no, this is not our goal, this is not our path. I was quite surprised when he said that. He said, no, you should say that the devotees can practice Krishna consciousness nicely throughout their lives and preach to others. So that is our process. Sanatan Goswami glorified Haridas Thakur, that Haridas Thakur is a perfect example of somebody who practices and preaches. So Prabhupada explains here, Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipuno. So these Goswamis, they are our examples. And what did they do? Now if you look at the Goswamis, now they were in a very exalted position. They were ministers in a government. Socially, it's a very, very high position. But what did they do? Tyaktva tu namashesha mandalapati shrenim sada tuchava budhva dina ganesha ko karunaya kaupina kantashrito vande rupa sanatano raghu yugo shri jiva gopalaho. Now, tyaktva tu namashesha mandalapati. Mandalapati means exalted personalities. Tyaktva tu namashesha mandalapati shrenim sada tuchava. They rejected this position as insignificant. For what? Why did they do that? Bhutva dina ganeshakau. Ganeshakau, to do good for the people. Bhutva dina ganeshakau. Dina jana, Prabhupada explained. Dina jana means the distressed. The people are suffering in this material world. For their sake, bhutva dina ganeshakau karunaya, out of mercy. Kaupina kantashatau, they took up the role of a mendicant. They took up the role of mendicants. So now, it is not usual for people in a very exalted material position to give that up and become a mendicant. But yet, the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness is so urgent and is so important that Rupa Goswami and all the Goswamis, they set the example for us. No matter what, preaching is important. Last month, I was in Chennai, and I was asked to give a class, and after the class, I was so impressed to observe that it was a class on book distribution. So then I observed that the people who were actually distributing books were bank managers and very highly praised professionals. And how did they do it? They were just going door to door and standing on the streets and just distributing books. So then I thought, actually, then I explained to them, this is actually the path of the Goswamis, that you people are actually very highly placed in society. But you don't care. You're going out and distributing Prabhupada's books. So Prabhupada would be very happy with this. This is our line, that we're not only interested in practicing Krishna consciousness, we're also interested in preaching Krishna consciousness. Now, of course, our Krishna consciousness movement has spread spread in such a way that the congregations have increased 100,000-fold. Nevertheless, we see that so many of these congregation devotees, even if they are in highly placed situations, they still engage in this magnanimous activity of book distribution or distributing Krishna consciousness to others. This is the essence of our Rupanuga line. In fact, Prabhupada mentions, we pray, Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam, which means the inner desire of Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was understood by Srila Prabhupada. And what is Prabhupada's inner desire? I got some places where Prabhupada is mentioning about his inner desire. He says, if you keep to the standard of pure spiritual life as I have humbly instructed you, there is no doubt that the Sankirtan movement will overtake all the earth and all opposing parties will be cracked down to nothing. I wish that it be noted down in history that this Krishna consciousness movement was responsible for saving the world. So this is Prabhupada's desire, that the Krishna consciousness movement should go down in history as having saved the world. And this is the task that has been entrusted to us. In fact, I forgot to read earlier where Prabhupada mentions, I am the only one in India who is openly criticizing not only demigod worship and impersonalism, but everything that falls short of complete surrender to Krishna. So this is what Prabhupada is teaching us. Complete surrender to Krishna, nothing short of it. So that is what we are supposed to do. Practice Krishna consciousness in the way that Prabhupada wants us to practice. Tivrena bhakti yogena, free from material desires. Pure devotional service. And it is our responsibility to give out this message to others. So this is the essence of our Krishna consciousness movement. And sometimes we may wonder, is there a quick formula? Is there some easy way by which these things can be accomplished? There is everything in Krishna consciousness. All kinds of facilities are provided for us in Krishna consciousness that we have no excuse. In fact, for every single problem, there is a solution. Now, if you notice in this purport, Prabhupada explains that by contact with a great devotee. If a devotee is blessed by another devotee, he becomes free from karmakanda and jnanakanda activities. So this is the way by which we can get free from the desire for karmakanda and jnanakanda activities. Prabhupada explains that here that if you're blessed by another devotee. So for us, what does that mean? Blessed by whom? So first of all, we are blessed by Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada's books are there. And Prabhupada gives us the assurance that if you read my books, you will never fall down. So if we read his books, we are sure to remain on the path of pure devotional service. Of course, we have to chant. But we would also read Prabhupada's books. That keeps us on the path of pure devotional service. And we would also serve the great devotees, the strict devotees who are following Prabhupada nicely. So by sticking to this path, it is possible. In fact, if you notice Bhaktivinoda Thakur's poem about Ohe Vaishnava Thakur. Now this poem actually is just about the first four verses. It's just exactly ditto of the first four verses of the Nectar of Instruction. He quotes these four verses and he says, how shall I follow them? How will I get attraction for the holy names? And he says, by the mercy, Ohe Vaishnava Thakur, I'm simply running behind you. Krishna is yours. Please give him to me. So if we simply run behind Prabhupada's books, run behind his followers who are strictly following. I mean followers are strictly following, that's what I mean. So there, if we run behind Prabhupada's books, if we run behind his followers who are strictly following, then that is the way. If you get blessed, if you get the blessings of Prabhupada, if you get the blessings of his serious followers, then there is hope. In fact, in the song written by Narottam Das Thakur, where he says about Narottam Das Thakur writes about it's called Nala Samayi Prarthana, where he writes about obtaining the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. There he writes, for Prabhupada, in the purport he mentions, that how can one have become free from material desires when one obtains the mercy of Lord Nityananda. In fact, that particular part I wanted to just read out to you. But Prabhupada writes that we are all asking about the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Nityananda is supposed to be the original spiritual master. So you would approach Gauranga, Lord